Well, good morning. Happy Easter, or more appropriately, Happy Resurrection Sunday. For centuries, it has been tradition for the pastor to stand before the congregation and declare with absolute certainty and boldness that he is risen. And for centuries, it has been tradition for the congregation of God to respond to that by saying he is risen indeed. And so on this beautiful, amazing, bright Easter morning, I stand before you and proclaim with absolute certainty, boldness, and passion, he is risen. Amen. Today we gather to celebrate the risen Jesus Christ and the greatest rescue of all time. I'm going to start out by asking y'all a few questions, and I'm pretty easy. I just ask for a couple of things. I'm going to ask that you participate, and I'll ask that you be honest. Can you do that? All right, awesome. Here we go. Here's the first question. How many of you would be honest enough to say that you've ever locked yourself out of your car or house? Funny thing is, somebody actually did that in the second service. So I was warned what I should say up on the stage this morning. How many of you have ever found yourself, guys, you need to be honest. How many of you have ever found yourself so lost that you actually had to stop and ask for directions? I have, right? How many of you have ever taken a class, whether in high school or college, where you realize you were just so far over your head, there is no way possible you're going to pass in grade unless that teacher gives you some serious grace? Anybody? Yep, me too. Right, and here's the ultimate. How many of you have ever found yourself in a public restroom in the seated position with no toilet paper? In all of those circumstances, you needed a rescuer, right? You needed a rescuer. Today we celebrate the greatest rescue of all time. The rescue of Jesus coming to save us from an eternity in hell. Have you ever noticed that the blockbuster movies that have been out for the past few decades kind of seem to have rescue as their theme? Like Saving Private Ryan, you know, Apollo 13, Mission Impossible, Schindler's List, Titanic, Armageddon, Lord of the Rings. I mean, they all have the theme of rescue. I think as people, we're kind of rescue junkies. We love to hear about, you know, this awesome stories of rescue. If you like to read stories of rescue, this is the greatest book of rescue you could ever read. It is filled with rescue after rescue after rescue after rescue. It's the story of God's relentless pursuit of the nation of Israel through rescue after rescue after rescue. I mean, people from Abraham, Gideon, Jacob, Joshua, Joseph, Moses, Noah, and so many more. It is a book of rescue. But the greatest rescue story of all time is the one we're looking at today, and that is the resurrection, the Easter story. Because it's in the Easter story that God sends his one and only Son, Jesus, into the world to rescue us from an eternity in hell. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel. It is what we hinge the basis of Christianity on. You know, when Superman came to rescue Earth with kryptonite, we realized that was a myth. You do realize that was a myth, right? Okay, just making sure. But with Jesus, it's the real deal. He is the real deal. Like, the birth of Jesus separates everything in history. From before his birth to after. I mean, everything in history is split with Jesus. Everything, it was either before the greatest rescue of all time, or after the greatest rescue of all time. Even when you write the date, you're talking about Jesus. April 20th, 2025. 2025 years what? 2025 years after the greatest rescue of all time. Do you see it? So we're going to look at a few passages of scripture this morning that particularly deal with the idea of rescue and how God loves you and me so much that he spared no expense at providing our rescue. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "There is only one God, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring us to God. Jesus Christ became truly human, and he gave himself to rescue all of us." Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "Jesus Christ rescues us by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue." You see, it doesn't matter your age, your gender, if you grew up in the country or in the city, your ethnicity, your color of your skin, your status in wealth. None of that matters. God came to rescue each and every one of us. Amen? God came for all of us. And so that gets us to the key question is, what do we need to be rescued from? Why do we need rescuing? Well, preacher, I thought you just said that God sent Jesus to rescue us from eternity in hell. That's true. That's the biggie, right? But if you have a few hours, which I don't know if you probably don't have anything else planned for your Easter, do you? If you have a few hours, I'd like to just share with you some of the many things that God rescues us from. And let's take just a moment, and I mean a brief moment, and I'm going to rattle off some scriptures that talk about the different areas and different things that God rescues us from. If you're taking notes, you're going to have to write fast. Psalm 69 says he came to rescue us from the stress of life. Psalm 55 says he came to rescue us from the attack of others. Psalm 18 says he came to rescue us from overwhelming problems. Hebrews chapter 2 says he came to rescue us from the fear of dying. 1 Thessalonians says he came to rescue us from the judgment of hell. Psalm 35 says he came to rescue us from financial distress. Romans 7 says he came to rescue us from the prison of addiction. 1 Peter 1 says he came to rescue us from a life without purpose. And Psalm 91 says he came to rescue us from the traps that we don't even see. How cool is our God? Right? I mean, he comes to rescue us from all these things, and just to throw a blanket over, Psalm 91 says, "I come to rescue from all the things that you don't even see coming." Right? How awesome is our God? Right? How cool is that? There is no problem that God can't help us with. You realize that? There is no problem that God can't help us with. We simply just got to ask. Yet I wonder how many of us might find ourselves feeling the emotion of Psalm 25, verse 17. It says, "I worry a lot about my troubles." Is there any worry warts in here? Anybody that just worries about everything? Yeah? "I worry a lot about my troubles. Please rescue me from them." Have you ever been there? Like, oh, my troubles, you know, like gloom, despair, and agony on me. Right? Any Hee-Haw fans? Anybody like, what's Hee-Haw? Is there some people who remember Hee-Haw? I can do the whole thing. "Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." That was free. You see, God doesn't just want to rescue us from an eternity in hell. He wants to rescue us to the best possible life right here, right now. Do y'all realize that? Like he said, "I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it to the full, that you may have it abundantly." He didn't save us to be miserable creatures and then someday we get to go to heaven. He came to deliver us from hell and deliver us to heaven, but he came that we might have the best possible life right here, right now. Listen, if you don't get too many things that I say, get this and remember this: God loves you. He absolutely adores you. Matter of fact, he delights in you. Did you know that? He delights in you. Check this out, Psalm 18, verse 19. "He brings me out into a spacious place. He rescues me." Why? "Because he delights in me." I want you to turn to somebody and say, God delights in me. Do it right now. Just take your time. Just look at somebody. And if you're sitting by yourself, go, God, you delight in me. Right? Turn to somebody and say, God delights in me. Because it's a true story. It's a true story. Psalm chapter 85 and verse 9 says, you, Lord, are ready to rescue everyone who worships you. Listen. If you didn't need a rescuer, God wouldn't have sent one. Does that make sense? If you didn't need to be rescued, God wouldn't have sent one. But because he sent one, guess what? You need one, okay? And you may be thinking, but whoa, preacher, you paint with a broad brush there, and I think I'm I'll pass. I'm good, right? I mean, I've got good health. I've got a good job. I've got a good career. I've got a good spouse. I've got a good kids. I've got a good, you know, house. I'm good. Keep whatever you're selling. I'm good, right? And the problem with that is way too many people settle for good when you could have great. We settle for, well, this is good, but we never find out and taste the Lord and see that he is awesome, right? Without Jesus in your life, watch this. Without Jesus in your life, you're not living. You're just surviving. Without Jesus, you're not thriving. You're just hanging out, right? It's kind of like spaghetti. Now, this is going to be that part that you're going to be able to take with you and go like, I don't know if I've ever heard Jesus described as spaghetti before, but watch this. I don't know if you've ever had spaghetti, not SpaghettiOs that are little circles in the red sauce. That's disgusting. But the spaghetti, I think it's made by SpaghettiOs or whatever, but it's the long, full-on spaghetti in cheese sauce. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Spaghetti with cheese sauce? So good. So good. When I was single in the Air Force, that was like my staple. I would go to the grocery store and I'd buy a whole box of the spaghetti with cheese sauce. And I'd go home and just open one up, throw it in a glass jar, put it in the microwave, and sit and just eat my spaghetti cheese sauce. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. It was amazing. My wife says I kind of lived in a bubble before I met her, and that's probably true. But I love the spaghetti with cheese sauce. And then I discovered Olive Garden. Oh, spaghetti with meat sauce, right? And the breadsticks. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I thought it was good. Spaghetti with cheese sauce. Then I tasted Olive Garden. Jesus is the same way. You may be thinking, you know, I've got it good. Yeah, you got it good, but you could have it great. You're just eating spaghetti with cheese sauce out of a can. That's what life is without Jesus. But with him, you got the Olive Garden. Did everybody make a connection? I mean, once you taste the goodness of God, you never look back. You're like, oh my, I can't even believe what I've been missing until now. You're only existing without Jesus, and you need a rescuer. The good news is I happen to know him. His name is Jesus Christ, and I would love to introduce you to him this morning. How many of you, by a show of hands, remember hearing the story or reading about the collapsed mine in Chile back in 2010? Anybody remember that? 33 miners were trapped in a collapsed mine in Chile 2,000 feet below the Earth's surface. Like when this mine collapsed, people above thought that the miners were dead. But it wasn't long before they realized that they weren't dead. They were trapped 2,000 feet below the Earth's surface, but they were in a tiny confined space, but they had survived. They were down there for 69 days. At an absolutely enormous expense, up above, they drilled a hole the size of a grapefruit 2,000 feet down to the shaft where they were trapped, where they delivered water and food and medicine and exchanged notes back and forth. Eventually, after drilling a hole the size of a bicycle tire 2,000 feet down, after 69 days, these miners were rescued. And as they were pulled up, each and every one of them had a shirt on that said, "Thank you, Jesus." How would you like to hear the story of what happened 2,000 feet below the earth's surface that led up to that? I'm going to tell you anyway. So of the 33 men that were trapped in this mine, there was one Jesus follower, just one, and his name was Jose. And Jose sent a message up that grapefruit-sized hole that they had dug, requesting 33 miniature Bibles be sent down. So the Chilean government sent down 33 small pocket-sized Bibles. And with a relatively captive audience, quite literally, Jose began to pray for and over these miners that were trapped. And he began singing worship songs to them and with them. And he began teaching and preaching from God's word. And wouldn't you know, one of those miners surrendered his life and received Jesus as Savior. And then another. And then another. And then another. Eventually, 22 of those 32 unbelievers put their trust in Jesus as Savior. But before they were actually lifted out of that hole, Jose held a kind of a commitment meeting with them. Because he wanted to make sure that they didn't just receive Jesus because they were afraid of dying, or they didn't just receive Jesus in hopes that if I do this, then we'll get rescued. He said, one way or another, you actually, from your heart, you pray this prayer and accept Jesus as your Savior. Guess what? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you breathe your last breath, you are going to step right into the very presence of Jesus, and there you will be forever and ever. He said, but guys, I want you to understand this. After all God has done for you, now he has rescued you from the pits of hell. He's about to rescue us from this collapsed mine and give you a new lease on life. Not only the future in heaven, but the best life here and now for the rest of your life. How can you guys, how can you not give him the rest of your life to go where he wants you to go, to do what he wants you to do, to say what he wants you to say? And he called on them to make the commitment, not just to receive Jesus as Savior, but to make him Lord. To make him Lord. That's what God wants from us this morning. Don't miss that. So important. That's what God wants from us this morning. Job chapter 33 and verse 28 says, God rescued me from the grave, and now my life is filled with light. So from that story of these Chilean miners, I want us to draw a few points to answer the question, how do we let Jesus rescue us? How do you allow Jesus to rescue you? Okay? Number one, admit you need rescuing. Admit that you need rescuing. Psalm chapter 70 and verse 5 says, but I am afflicted and needy. Hurry to me, God. You are my help and my Savior. Lord, do not delay. I mean, it sounds crazy. It sounds bizarre. But that's where it has to begin. You have to admit that you need rescuing. Because honestly, if we take a look at these miners, they had every right to really go, you know, it's kind of confined space, but it's kind of dark and quiet. There's no cell phones. There's no TV. There's no traffic. There's no woke craziness going on in the world here. I think I'll just stay. It sounds crazy and bizarre, but they had every right to, if they wanted to, just stay where they were. You have to admit that you need rescuing. Everybody see that? Number one, you have to admit that you need rescuing. Number two, you have to admit that you can't rescue yourself. You have to admit that you can't rescue yourself. Psalm chapter 49 and verse 7 says, there's no such thing as self-rescue, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. The cost of rescue is beyond our means. So the Chilean government, at a great expense, drilled this hole 2,000 feet the size of a grapefruit, and then began to work on a hole the size of a bicycle tire to lift them up. At such an expense that it would have taken all 33 of these miners the income they could make over 50 lifetimes to pay what it cost to drill this hole. Can you imagine if the miners would be like, hey, you know, because we're talking about that, admit that you can't rescue yourself. Can you imagine if they said, hey, you know what? Thanks, appreciate it, government. But I found this teaspoon down here, and I think I'm going to dig my own way out 2,000 feet. And besides that, you know, I just have a hard time accepting something that I didn't work for and earn. Sounds just crazy, doesn't it? Sounds about as crazy as someone thinking that they can get to heaven on their own. We need to remember something. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm not one of many ways. I am the one and only way to heaven. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You want to go to heaven, you're going to go through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, or you're not going at all. Amen? We got to remember, you can't work your way. Now let's not get, you know, the pendulum swings sometimes really broad. We need to remember Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about this, that you can't work your way to heaven, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so none of us can boast about it. But then verse 10 goes on to basically say, you don't do good things in order to be saved. You do good things because you are saved, right? You're doing things because you have the Spirit inside of you now, and His Spirit guides you into all truth. His Spirit leads you to be more like the Savior, and therefore you do good things because you are saved. But sometimes we get a little mixed up, and we think we have to do things in order to be saved. It's absolutely absurd to think that we can go get to heaven any other way. Admit that you need rescuing. Admit that you can't rescue yourself. And number three, just ask Jesus to save you. Ask Jesus to save you. Psalm chapter 91 and verse 15 says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. God will rescue each and every one of us as we call upon Him. Amen? I already said it doesn't matter where you're from and all this stuff. He came to rescue all of us. But we got to ask. All we have to do is believe and receive. All the heavy lifting has already been done. Everything that needs to be done has already been done, did by Jesus on the cross. Amen? And the resurrection that we celebrate today. You can't and don't do anything to earn your salvation. He has already done everything that is needed to secure your home in heaven. All you have to do is believe and receive. Preacher, are you saying that I don't have to belong to a church to go to heaven? Are you saying I don't have to give all kinds of money to go to heaven? Are you saying I don't have to serve and be involved in these projects to go to heaven? That's exactly what I'm saying. All you have to do is simply believe and receive, and the gift of eternal life is yours. It's not something you can work for, or ever could, or ever will. There's nothing you can do that will add to what God has already done through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Just believe and receive. And number four, and I don't want you to miss this. We talk about the ABC, you know, admit that you need rescuing, admit that you can't do it on your own, and ask Jesus to save you. Okay, game over. No. It's just the beginning of life. It's just the beginning. Number four, commit your life to Jesus. Commit your life to Jesus. 22 men received Jesus down in that collapsed mine. But before Jose allowed them to be rescued up through this 2,000-foot hole, he asked them to make Jesus Lord. You see, I contend that many Christians today think that those two words, Savior and Lord, are synonymous and interchangeable, and they are not. They are not. And I try not to be too abrasive and you know, interject my thoughts on this. You know, when people say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Well, first of all, it's backwards. He becomes Savior before he becomes Lord. And secondly, it doesn't necessarily happen at the same time. Speaking personally, just a few days ago, April 15th, but 1988, so a little more than a few days ago, I celebrated my spiritual birthday. April 15th, 1988 is when I received the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ and his precious blood. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven one day. It is done, did, sealed. I am a saint of God. But you know what? After that, I was still kind of the boss of me. I still did what I wanted to do. Some of it was ignorance. I just didn't know any better. And that's where I don't want you to have to go through this. I got saved in a church that didn't really offer to help me with next steps. We want to help with the next steps. Right, but I didn't know any better, and besides that, I was still all about Milt. What did I want? What did I need? And I still continued to make decisions that weren't altogether godly. I mean, I had the Spirit inside of me, but I was grieving the Holy Spirit in a lot of different ways and things. And it wasn't until a few years later, and it was a Sunday night, and I heard a message, and I can't even tell you exactly, I can't even tell you the date, but it was probably about 92. And I heard for the first time it resonated of what Jesus actually did for me. Me. That he bled and died for me. He paid my sin debt that I owed, that I deserved to pay for. He died for me, but on the third day, he kicked the end out of a borrowed tomb to prove once and for all that he's God and he lives forevermore. Amen? And I heard that message so clear, and it basically the message was the Holy Spirit saying to me, Milt, after all I have done for you, how can you not give me the rest of your life to do what I want you to do? To go where I want you to go, to say what I want you to say. And I tried staying in my seat, but I couldn't. Up to the front of the church, and I committed myself, and I said, Lord, whatever it is, my answer is yes. Now, what's the question? And I promised to do whatever God wanted me to do, to go wherever he wanted me to go, say whatever he wanted me to say for the rest of my life. It's a difference between Savior and Lord. See, when you're talking about a Savior, you're receiving. Now, come on, work with me. We're still receiving. I mean, it's awesome. It's the pinnacle. It's the paramount of all things is to be born again. But it's about receiving. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to heaven. Right? I want. I need. I can't do it on my own. I need. Right? It's about receiving. Most important thing you can do is to receive Jesus as Savior. Don't miss that. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, don't leave here, please. Don't leave here without knowing him as Savior. And I'm going to pray and help you in a prayer if that's you this morning. But it's all about receiving still. And what Jose was getting at with these miners was you've received the eternal life. You've received. Now it's time for you to step out of this hole and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that others may know what you now know. Because once you receive, the Spirit is inside of you and he asks you to go out and share the good news with those that are far from me. So that they can be born again as well. Do you see it? It's not about just receiving. It's about surrendering then to the Lordship of Jesus, to go where he wants us to go and do and say for the rest of your life.